Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you want more than anything? If you could have anything, what would it be? Would you maybe want a new car or a remodeled kitchen? Maybe the latest iPhone that came out? Maybe you would want to be able to read faster. That's what I think I would want. Wouldn't that be fun to be able to read 10 times faster than normal? Maybe your wish would be to golf better or to invest with perfect wisdom. We all have a wish list, don't we? I'm sure you've been asked about that this Christmas season, too. We all have a wish list. A wish list of things that we want, things that we think we might need, things that we are convinced would make our lives better. We can think up some pretty fun stuff. But God has a better list. God's wish list for us is so much better than anything we could dream up. You might think you know what you need. God knows better. Our sermon text today is from Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Genesis 12. This is the call of Abram, who would become Abraham. Let me read for us. Genesis 12. 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the time we have this morning to look at this passage and learn about your great gifts that meet our great needs. Bless us and keep us, we ask in your name. Amen. These verses are known as the Abrahamic Covenant. And they're really some of the most important verses in the Old Testament. With these simple verses to an ordinary man named Abram, God, like a loving father, promised to address his children's greatest needs. Their greatest needs. Before we dive into those needs, though, let's take a look at what's going on here. I'll put on a wide-angle lens, because a big thing happened here in Genesis 12. The course of human history would be forever changed because of these words given to Abram. Christians, Muslims, and Jews all trace their lineage back to Abram, back to this man, this promise given by God to Abram, which means that today there are over 4 billion people who trace their heritage to Abram and who think that these verses are monumentally important. They are important verses. To the Christian, though, these verses have precious meaning. These verses are where God establishes his people, where he sets into motion his plan to rescue sinful humanity. This is where it starts. We don't know a lot about Abram before this, before he received this call from God, and we don't know a lot about the place where he came from. But we do know that Abram was absolutely unqualified to have God establish a direct connection with him. Abram was absolutely unqualified to receive these gracious promises from God. But this is not unusual. This is how God works. The way God deals with Abram here in Genesis 12 is in the same way God deals with each of us. Undeserved grace to an undeserving sinner. God makes three promises to Abram here in Genesis 12. Three promises that reveal God's loving and gracious heart and that meet our three greatest needs. The first need that God addresses is our need for security and comfort. Our need for security and comfort. Look again at verse 1. It said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.'" This is called the land promise. God promised to give Abram the land that he will show him, fulfilling Abram's need for security and comfort. We all want security and comfort, don't we? We all like to have job security. Raise your hand if you would like to have a week-to-week contract at your work, or at your income coming on a week-to-week basis. We like security. We like to know that things are going to come. We don't like the uncertainty. I don't know of anybody who would want empty cupboards, who would want to have clothes that don't fit. We all want comfort and security. There's nothing wrong with that, but are you making your comfort an idol? Are you investing all of your energy into pursuing safety, security, comfort, while your spiritual life suffers? While your family's spiritual life suffers? God wants to give you the gift of true security and comfort. But he wants to do it in a way that's much better than any way we could come up with. A much better way than we ever could. Just look at Abram. He was a wealthy man who had lived a long and successful life. He had financial freedom to do whatever he wanted to. He probably had great security and safety from any threats and dangers, and I'm sure he and his wife Sarai lived in great comfort. But what did God call this 75-year-old man to do with his 65-year-old wife? To leave his home, to leave his family, to leave his earthly security and comfort and go to an unknown location. God called Abram to abandon the local cults and idols in the city that he grew up in, to leave the physical protection and security provided by his family, his clan, his city. And he called him to leave his father's house, which probably meant walking away from a large inheritance. But God wanted to give Abram true security and true comfort. He wanted to lead them to the promised land, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land that God was preparing for his children, a land that God would lead them to. And you know what? God wants to give you that same promise of comfort and security. He might not call you to leave your home and your family and your land, but he wants to give you a promised land too. He is preparing it for you, and he wants to lead you to it. Abram didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God. Hebrews 11 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going, for he was looking forward to the city which has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Later on in that chapter of Hebrews 11, it talks about the descendants of Abraham living in the promised land, but desiring and anticipating a better promised land. Verse 16, it says, "But they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to call them, or to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." Isn't that amazing? These people, Abram and his descendants would go to a particular place called Canaan, the promised land, but even Abram knew that God's true gift of ultimate security and comfort was a spiritual promised land, a heavenly promised land that Jesus himself was building and is building for those of us who believe. John 14, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You can't earn a high enough salary. You can't live in a big enough house. You can't have a large enough retirement account to match the comfort and security that Jesus wants to give to you. The prophecy of Micah 5 that we might be hearing more this season is about Jesus in Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. But it also talks about the security that Jesus provides his children. Micah 5:4 says, "And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." God gives us the true gift of comfort and security. The second need that God addresses to Abram here in these promises is our need for recognition, our need to be known and noticed. Verse 2, Genesis 12, he said, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Whether you admit it or not, everyone likes to be recognized, don't they? Even the most introverted person in the world likes to be known and noticed, appreciated or thanked for something. A few years ago, I was working on organizing a pretty big event for the place I was working at. I spent months beforehand working through the logistics and the planning of the event, all the details, trying my best to make sure that it all would go off without a hitch, that it would run smoothly and it would be a good event. The event came and it did go off without a hitch. It flowed perfectly. There were no issues. I had done a good job of planning the event, but no one knew it. I was very much behind the scenes, and I was yearning for that praise, that recognition. It's a little embarrassing to admit, but maybe can you relate to that a little bit? We all sometimes seek recognition and appreciation for something that we've done. Starve for a little acknowledgement sometimes. Everyone has a need to be known and noticed. But even better than all the praise and recognition the world can give you is to be known and noticed by God. Even better than a banner and a cake with your name on it is to have the attention and the glorious mercy of our Heavenly Father. God is the perfect gift giver, and he fulfills our need to be known by being knowable. Our God is a knowable God. Our God isn't far off and distant. He isn't an absent-minded creator who created the world and then took off. He isn't an inaccessible God who can only be reached by climbing a mountain or by having a mystical experience. Genesis 12 proves that we have a God who can be known. We have a God who wants to be known. Even better than having the eyes of the world turned to you is having the loving, gracious attention of God turned to you. There was a stone tablet discovered a few decades ago, I think it was, that had a prayer etched into it, an Assyrian prayer from 700 or 800 BC. The prayer is a lament, and it's a guy who wrote this prayer, and as he tries to appease the gods for a sin he has committed, but he doesn't know which god is angry, and he doesn't know what sin he has committed. It's really a tragic prayer to read, because this guy, this man, doesn't know where to turn. He doesn't know who to cry out to. He doesn't know where to go. He believed in gods who were distant and unknowable. But our God, the true God, is not distant. He is knowable. John 1 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There is no greater honor than to be known by God. There is no greater distinction than to be loved and chosen by God. God made the childless Abram the father of both the Jewish and the Muslim people, and he became one of the most famous and significant people in the history of the world. Abram is given due credit for the acts of faith and his legacy of faithfulness, but I'm sure that he would be the first to tell you that his fame and notoriety are nothing compared to the honor of being known by God. God is the perfect gift giver, and he perfectly fulfills all of our needs. finally, the third need that God addresses is found in verse 3. Reading again, it says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God has given each of us a desire to have a purpose. We all want to have an influence on things, to have a purpose, to make an impact or a difference. And God designed us that way. He designed us to have a purpose, to be purpose-driven people who strive to accomplish things. We need something to do in our lives. We need a goal. We need bridges to cross. If we didn't have a purpose, there's no point to anything, is there? God gave Abram's life great purpose. He not only promised to give him a land, he not only promised to make his name great, but he promised that God would bless all the families of the earth through Abram. God would use Abram as a vessel of his blessing. And we can see how in Galatians 3, starting at verse 7, Paul writes, he says, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Paul says, so then those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. When God spoke those words to Abram, when he issued this covenant promise to Abram, he was thinking about you. He was. Sitting there today in your chairs, he was thinking about you. All the families of the earth, that's us. We are the ones who are blessed through Abram. It was through Abram that God reestablished a personal connection with humanity. It was through Abram that God revealed himself to be a knowable and a findable God, a personal God. And it was through Abram's family that God would send a great descendant who would live a sinless life, die an undeserving death in order to fully accomplish God's plan of redemption. That's what we're waiting for this Advent season, isn't it? We're waiting for this perfect son to be born to the Virgin Mary. Through Abram, all the families of the earth were blessed. But it's not over yet. God wants to give your life purpose too. God wants to fill our need of being purpose-driven people by giving us a tremendous purpose, a tremendous role in his redemptive plan. Psalm 96 tells us to sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. This is where we get our true purpose, where we find our opportunity to have lasting impact, to have true influence. God's purpose for our lives is that we trust his promises and that we share his promises with others. Most of us are familiar with Matthew 28, right? The Great Commission, where Jesus said, go into all the world, go therefore make disciples of all the nations. But the original Great Commission is found here in Genesis 12. This is where God revealed his plan to reach the nations with the news about his love, his compassion, and his forgiveness. And verse 4 of Genesis 12 shows Abram's response. He responded to God's promises. But this isn't a story about a man's obedience. This is a story about God's graciousness. Because the way that God deals with Abram is the same way that God deals with each and every one of us. God deals with us not by giving us demands, but by giving us promises. The same God who revealed himself to Abram so long ago reveals himself to you this morning. And he can be found right here in his word. We are saved by believing God's promises to us. So let's trust these promises and let's stand on these promises together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word through which you come to us this morning. you are the perfect gift giver, and you desire to give us great and marvelous gifts through this word. Grow our faith and our trust in you, and stamp out all unbelief and sin in our lives. May you continue to be praised and glorified this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah.